Blog Talk Radio.
All right, listen up, y'all. I'm y'all's substitute teacher, Mr. Garvey. I taught school for 20 years in the inner city, so don't even think about messing with me. Y'all feel me? Okay, take a roll here. Jay Quellen. Where's Jay Quellen at? No Jay Quellen here? Yeah.
Do you mean Jacqueline?
Okay, so that's how it's gonna be. Y'all wanna play? Okay, then. I've got my eye on you, Jay Quellen. Balake. Where is Balake at? No Balake here today. Yes, sir.
My name's Blake.
Are you out of your goddamn mind?
Blake?
What? Do you want to go to war, Balake?
No.
Because we could go to war.
No.
I'm for real. I'm for real. So you better check yourself. D-Nice. Is there a D-Nice? If one of y'all says some silly-ass name, this whole class is going to feel my wrath. Now, D-Nice.
Do you mean Denise?
Oh, no. Bitch!
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to enter this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man. What is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funkin' lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a logic.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Diva, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
I'm for real. Is there a LaQuisha here? Huh? No? Is there a Shaquan here? No? Folks, welcome to a soggy but alive edition of Afternerd Radio. Folks, it's real out here. That was from the great Comedy Central show. I think it's the second season now. Key and Peele. Look out for these guys. Look out for these guys. They are really funny. They're from Mad Television, and these two have gone out on their own, and they have a couple of pretty, I would foresee, a legendary comedic pieces, so check them out, Key and Peele. Folks, but this is Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. We have a lot to talk about. Obviously, to talk about Sandy. Sandy raised her horns, and we are feeling it in the NYC, dare I say, the Tri-State area. A lot to get into, folks. Let's get into some funk first, some urban alternative music. This is, I guess, an homage of disaster music. If you remember the Gulf disaster from a few years back, the BP oil spill, there was a celebrity tour de force with Lenny Kravitz and Mos Def. This is a New Orleans staple, Ain't My Fault. We'll get into it, folks. Let's groove. Lenny Kravitz and Mos Def, or should I say Yasiin Bey. Let's get to it.
Go to the rock to hide they face. Say the rock right out. Know how them faces go. To the rock to hide they face. Say the rock right out. Know how them faces go. To the
dating back to the mid-60s, written by Smokey Johnson and Wardell Korzycki, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. And it was covered by the initially played by the Tremé Brass Band, and of course, just covered by rappers, by mainstream musicians, and this time around, because of the Gulf Aid, because of the BP oil spill from a few years back, Mos Def Trombone Shorty, who's with Prince now, I believe, Tim Robbins, and Lenny Kravitz got together. There's a video. You must check it out. That was about that catastrophe, so why not play it for this catastrophe? Again, folks, it's AfroNerd, AfroNerd Radio, featuring Captain Kirk. Captain, you're most definitely needed on the bridge because we're drowning, literally. Let's get to it, sir.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Now, Sandy was a jilted, angry woman on her period. Now, here's the thing. Is it going to be for 3 days, or is it going to be for 7 days, this period? We're leaning towards 7 days. Over to you, Afro Nerd.
Yeah, I think you mean 7 days as far as power is concerned. This is going to linger around for years. I mean, the destruction is quite expansive. But let's hope that we can get some electricity. Again, folks, obviously we're talking about this Frankenstorm. From my understanding, the reason why it's even called a Frankenstorm, because it was a convergence of different types of systems. So, you have your hurricane, and what was the other thing? I forgot what they mentioned, but it was a nor'easter. All these things come together in one collage that ended up being just a mess. We're talking about, I mean, they're throwing numbers around, but $20 billion in damage. New York, I mean, listen, New York / NYC / Manhattan Island / Long Island, they're islands. So we forget that we are surrounded by an expanse of water. And I recollect from the Katrina days that some folks thought that, well, that's more of a Gold Coast thing, Gulf Coast thing, that we wouldn't be really subject to that to that degree. I don't know now. Well, actually, I do know now. It's pretty serious. You can't even go to New York City right now. We are broadcasting from the Queens, Long Island area, but trying to go to Manhattan would be difficult. I believe Mayor Bloomberg has made it where you have to have at least three drivers in a car. Subway service is limited. The bus service is just now running. That's for free. They got to give it to you for free because it's a mess out there. Captain, talk about what you saw. You were actually walking around Manhattan yesterday. What did you see?
Well, this is what I saw. Now, from 39th Street on down, in Manhattan, 39th Street on down, there's no power. And there still isn't any power from 39th Street on down. You saw individuals walking long distances in order to get food and water. So a lot of that going on. At the given time, pretty much people were calm. You know, you also had the tourists, a few tourists that I ran into, and they were like, damn. I came at the wrong time. I can't believe this. I said, no, you got to look on the bright side. This is a New York experience that you're definitely getting. This is one you'll be able to tell your people about. And they were like, yeah, that's true. But you also saw on the people's face that, you know, if this goes on longer, the other side will start to come out. Because Americans are not really used to too much strife. You know, so a day or two, you can deal with it. After it gets to 4 to 5 days, things begin to erode, they fall apart, and your survival mechanism begins to kick in. So even decent people can turn into tyrants if their survival mechanism kicks in. The only thing is, luckily, it's only 39th Street on down. So, you know, you just have to take the walk and everything else, and you'll be all right. God forbid if it was the whole of New York. Within a week, I think everyone would be running around crazy in here. If it was a week, you know, that's all it would take. You figure the first 2 days, the thugs, that's it. They're going crazy. But the rest of the more civilized people, it'll probably take them about a week. Then they start going crazy. You know, you don't have water. Obviously, when you don't have electricity, you're not going to have water. Your food supplies run low. And then what if you need medication? A lot of people need medication. You have to start saying, okay, I can't get my medication, but there's a pharmacy there. Now you see what happens. Your survival mechanism begins to open up. I need formula for my kid, you know, all these type of different situations. Cash is no good if the whole city is shut down, just hypothetically speaking. So also, now that's Manhattan. In Queens, down trees everywhere, all over the place. If you're driving down a block and you go, okay, let me go down here, this is good. You go up like three blocks, tree right in the way, you have to turn around, find an alternate route. That's all through Queens. Long Island is actually worse. They got, what is it, Lilco Power, I believe? Terrible, terrible, terrible. There has to be a better contingency plan for these power outages. They can forget it. You go blocks and blocks and blocks in Long Island, there's no power. Now, according to what they're saying, there's 4 million people without power in the tri-state area. That was the last report I heard. So that's gradually going to be coming back on. The problem with Manhattan is this. They had a transformer blow out. These transformers are not located in Manhattan. They have to go to Pennsylvania to get the transformers. Then they need to be hooked up and plugged into here. Then we could start to get power back up. And it's, from what they say, it takes about 2 days from the time they start working on the transformers in order to bring them back up to power. So then you're looking at some time now. You're looking at some time. So it's going to be a real serious situation that the people have to deal with. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, you know, as you're describing this, you know, there's a lot to unpack with this story because, you know, whether we want to deal with it or not, or whether many would want to not want to admit it, this has a lot of political implications as well.
Absolutely.
President Obama has an opportunity to exploit this in a respectful way. Let me repeat that. He does have an opportunity because people might have a problem with me using the term exploit. But that's exactly what it is. He does have an opportunity to exploit this with class, respectfully, to his own means. Some on the right have been very, I don't want to say passionate, but maybe crass almost. Very crass, very blunt at jumping on this thing now. I don't know if it's, you know, in the interest of proper decorum. I don't know if it's a good look to jump on this politically, at least from the right, but some are doing this. Now, I was listening to Rob Redding. I talk about Rob Redding quite a bit. Rob Redding is a radio host, has a radio show, Rob Redding Show, that's on Sirius FM, an independent. That's his shtick. Anyway, he was referencing an article from the Chicago Tribune, and it was written by a John Cass. And John Cass goes in pretty deep about his belief that this makes Obama the most luckiest politician. He goes there. He said, "Oh, is Obama the luckiest politician or what?" I don't know if I would have phrased it that way, but some folks are not afraid to be a little crass. And they're saying, I mean, I don't know if, you know, inheriting this disaster, I don't know if you can qualify that or quantify that as luck exactly. But as far as visuals go, as far as aesthetics go, we have as we ride into the election next week, we have the president looking like a president, acting like a president, acting presidential, or I don't want to be disingenuous, being presidential. And you have Romney, who wants to put himself in positions to be presidential, and he can't. He can't be presidential. The most he can do is try not to be so much of an opportunist, and that's difficult. I mean, I believe even tomorrow, I believe both of them – well, actually today, Romney went back on the campaign trail. Barack Obama goes on his campaign trail tomorrow. But you have a photo op of the New Jersey governor, Governor Christie, with Obama. And he had to give Obama his props. Now, you have a Republican governor who's supposedly on Team Romney in a position to give the opponent props. He has to work with the whole objective of having bipartisanship plays a role in this. So now you have two important integral political figures working together from opposite sides of the fence during a disaster. Publicly, talk about a photo op. Romney can't really do anything. And some have said that, well, you know, he's campaigning but not campaigning, which looks a little, you know, it's a balancing act he has to play. It looks a little shady. Now, you know, when he has these campaign drives, they're also meant to be charity drives as well. So you have to throw that in the mix. You have to say, well, we're collecting money. But so you have to do something to look not so, you know, really no one really cares about campaigns now when you're talking about cars and property and homes upended. As the captain has just referenced, even locally, we're seeing huge trees. It's one thing to see the flooding in Manhattan. When you go further out east towards Brooklyn, Queens, Long Island, you're seeing less flooding, although that is a problem as well. But you're also seeing a lot of these humongous trees, which are amazing to see. I mean, huge trees upended from the roots with the cement. I mean, everything that you thought could hold down a tree, nature takes care of that for you. This stuff is gone. And Breezy Point, for those who are not familiar with the New York area, Brizzy Point is a Queens haven that's by the Jamaica Bay, and you know, you're not thinking of Major League water, but the ocean comes on in, causes transformers to explode, and now 100+ homes have been destroyed in this Bayside area. So, you know, this is a mess, but it gives a chance for Obama. Now he has to show and prove, though. He has to show and prove on this. He has to definitely come through with his promises. But I'm having a difficult time. I want the captain to come in on this one. I'm having a difficult time believing that they're going to dismiss Obama next week when he is displaying this kind of gravitas during a disaster. And, you know, you're going to take chances with a guy that actually during his seeking for the Republican nomination, when he's doing the debates during the Republican debates, he talked about cutting off funding for FEMA. He talked about cutting off funding for FEMA and leaving it up to the private sector and also the states. Now that you have all this decimation, families are homeless. As the captain talked about, God forbid that this goes on for too much longer, because folks start to get feral at this point. I don't think people want to hear, well, we don't really want the government to get involved in a major disaster. I don't think they want to hear that. So this is something going on. There's something going on. I've referenced this many a times on the show, where you're looking at Romney not really – he misses the point. He's a little off on major things. You know, he's shot from the hip. You know, he shot first, aimed later during the Benghazi debacle before we really found out what was going on. He was so hell-bent on getting political points that he failed to look at that as being a disaster, failed to see that American lives are lost. He was too busy really looking at gaining ground for himself. So when it comes down to it, people don't want to see that in a president. You know, it comes off very petty. The election right now, for all intents and purposes, there was even talk about delaying the election, which has never happened. It has never happened historically to delay the national presidential election. It's never happened. But it was discussed this time. So when you talk about this kind of devastation, the election looks really small. And by extension, Romney looks very small. So I want the captain to come in to give us his thoughts. But I wouldn't classify this as being lucky for Obama, but he can, and he's a very wise man. He can take advantage of it respectfully because of the positioning. What are your thoughts, Captain?
I would say it's probably one of the best incidental great campaign moves. Incidental is the operative word. Incidental campaign moves in a long, long time. Because not only does Governor Christie, not that just mere fact he's a Republican, he has spoke out many a time about Obama policies. And all of America has seen that. All of America has seen that. Now you're in a reversal. Of course you need something. But regardless of the fact whether you need something or not, you have to commend the man because he responded in the correct fashion. Now, let's do this. Hindsight being 2020, let's just say Romney was the president and there was no FEMA. What happens right now to Jersey? What happens? You got to figure it out, right, Jersey? You got to figure it out. Okay, good luck on that one. Good luck on that one. I just want to leave you with that for a minute. Now, here's the problem I have with this. Wow. I don't know if you can hear me, people, but I'm just going to keep talking because apparently we lost the great Afro Nerd. Let me go to the chat room. Anybody in the chat room? Chat room, can you hear me? You Storm, can you hear me?
Captain.
Oh, you're back. All right.
Yes.
We lost you.
Yes. Well, you know. Sandy might not like what we're saying.
Yeah, if someone doesn't like what we're saying, if someone doesn't like
you
what
know?
We're saying. Now, back to this now. This is what I'm saying now. Natural disasters will happen from time to time. The policy here in America, where you just think on a quarter, you know, and what I mean by that, you say quarter, Captain, how so? Business people here in America think quarterly reports. If you have a 401k, if you have stock options or anything above, you understand exactly what I mean. You get a quarterly report, this is how it's doing. Chinese think 20 to 30 years down the line. You have to remember, two generations ago, Chinese were considered imbeciles. Generation being 20 to 30 years, we split the difference, so let's say 50 years ago, imbeciles. Now look at them now. That's the long-term thinking. Also, we realize that China is a communist situation. So if they want to build a bridge tomorrow, the bridge goes up. But even though they're building the bridge, they say, okay, this is what this bridge will do for us 20 to 30 years from now. You have water in the subways here. The subway system needs to be fixed. You're going to tell me you cannot figure out how to drain the subways a lot faster than the present situation? That's what you're going to tell the people? No, you can't figure it out because your mentality is on the quarterly report. I need to make this money now. So what, something happens 10, 15 years from now, and then we have to spend $20 billion. Now, money works on the law of conservation, meaning which? They use the energy law. It's the energy law of conservation, meaning which energy cannot be destroyed. Meaning which, to put it simply, when someone loses money, someone gains money. The money is not destroyed. It goes somewhere. So now when this money drops, this money is coming from somewhere. Follow the paper trail and you'll figure it out. A lot of times it's the taxpayer. That's where the money comes from. This mentality here ultimately is going to be the demise of this country. Let me tell you why. Along the whole eastern seaboard, let me show you how these imbeciles think. Along the whole East Coast, you have nuclear reactors, about 35 now. Now, this is going to happen in our lifetime now. Remember I told you, you heard it here first. I'm not talking about the 200-foot tsunami, 400-foot tsunami. We may never see that. But we may definitely see, I guarantee you, a 20-foot tsunami that comes in 3 miles. Forget about the devastation, because tsunamis move at the speed of sound and everything when they come through. Forget about that devastation. The whole East Coast becomes Fukushima. What happens to the rest of America? Everybody drops down in cancer over two generations. This happens because you think on a quarterly report. Let me make this money now. The quarterly report thinking makes the guy at the top very, very rich. And then when things go wrong, he or she can leave you holding the ball. He goes somewhere else and sets up again. But the rest of the masses of people who come to work and everything else, you're left holding the ball. You end up dying. So this is the mentality. This was going forward here in America. They already set their demise up with this quarterly thinking. It makes no sense whatsoever. There needs to be a change. This does not work. This is why we're getting screwed. Disasters will happen. There needs to be a better contingency plan when these things go down. But it cannot be one if you think from a quarterly report. Quarterly report is just a nice way of saying screw the people. Back over to you, Sir Apple Nerd.
Yeah, you know what? Let's, for further edification for our audience, let's go to an ABC News report. This is Obama, President Obama and the storm. This, I guess, goes more into the whole, dare I say, Obama maybe sliding into a safe place during the election because of Hurricane Sandy. So they talk about this. They go into it. So after that, we'll go into a quick musical break and more on Sandy and more discourse on other topics. Believe it or not, there's more to discuss beyond Sandy, but it's hard. It's a lot that's going down even as we speak. Okay, ABC News regarding President Obama and the storm. Hold on, folks.
We continue now on this superstorm, and there are big questions tonight about how this storm will affect the race for president now. You saw the president there had to stop campaigning to meet with FEMA today, Mitt Romney canceling rallies too, and tonight the state of Maryland just calling off the first day of early voting tomorrow. And all of this comes as the latest ABC News Washington Post poll shows Mitt Romney ahead of the president by 1 point, 49-48%. That's among likely voters. And with this race already a dead heat, could Hurricane Sandy upend this final stretch? Here's our senior political correspondent, John Carl, tonight.
It's Mother Nature's October surprise, a storm so big and so destructive it could throw the campaign's final week into chaos.
The storm will throw a little bit of havoc into the race.
For President Obama, it meant canceling two upcoming campaign events and visiting FEMA headquarters, vowing an immediate response to the storm.
We're going to cut through red tape. We're not going to get bogged down with a lot of rules. We want to make sure that we are anticipating and leaning forward.
There are political stakes, too. A chance for the president to show decisive leadership or to take the blame if the response is bungled. All told, 16 campaign events have already been canceled. Mitt Romney canceled three in Virginia, moving westward to Ohio, where he met up with Paul Ryan.
Today, when we get home, put in our prayers the people who are in the East Coast in the wake of this big storm that's coming. Let's not forget those fellow Americans of ours.
With just 9 days left, the race is as close as ever, a point dramatized in a new Obama ad reminding voters that the 2000 race was decided by a mere 537 votes in Florida.
If you're thinking that your vote doesn't count, that it won't matter, well, back then, there were probably at least 537 people who felt the same way.
And Mitt Romney has picked up the endorsements of two Iowa newspapers that supported Obama last time, one that hasn't supported a Republican since Richard Nixon. With the storm coming and the race so tight, both campaigns are trying to bank as many votes as possible in states with early voting, with lines especially long in Virginia and Maryland.
The storm is not shutting down this campaign. Mitt Romney is about to have his third campaign event of the day here in Ohio, and the president will be on the trail tomorrow in Florida and right back here in Ohio. David?
Canceling those events in Virginia and heading where it matters most, right there in Ohio. John Carl tonight. Thank you.
All right, folks, again, that was ABC News. Let's go into a quick groove. When we get back, I have more to talk about. Actually, a little bit of a musing, one of my musings on something that I have to address. It still deals with the campaign, but more about President Obama seeking a second term. I want to get into that a little bit more deeply. I think that some of our listeners are not really getting it. In all fairness, many of you are. But there are a few that I think are just not really honing in on what we are seeing, what is at stake. All right, some hip-hop. This is Urban Alternative, but I will play hip-hop of a certain standard. This cut is called, appropriately, called Classic. DJ Premier, Rakim, Nas, and KRS-One on the same track. Let's get to it, folks. You know what we always do? Time to groove.
And now for my next number, I'd like to return to the classic.
Classic.
I'd like to return to the classic.
Can't buy this. Flyness, like a shyness, your highness is performing. Look how long the line is. It's what happened, you make shit timeless. It's what happened, these rappers is the pinest. What do it take to be a legend like Nas is? I'm so novice, I'm so polished. I got a right to be a little bit snobbish. I did a little bit of college semesters. It took cool like Robbie. So let me figure out this wasn't my place. The beat slow till you listen to my pace. Cause I be killing shit, but that's evident. And y'all feeling it, but I expected it. If it's classic, it's gon' last forever. Then I'm everywhere you never been and better than I ever been.
Classic.
Live straight classic, classic.
I'm better than I ever been.
I'm everywhere you never been and better than I ever been.
Classic.
Live straight classic.
I'm better than I ever been.
Report down, represent to the fullest. Nah, I rock well.
Perseverance. See the fake hustler rapper, to them it hurts to hear this. Oh, you went platinum, yeah, that's nice. Now let me see you do the same thing twice. Two times, four times, then a couple of more times. Please, you're amateur night, it's showtime. It's one life to live, so live it the best you can. The world could use one less man. Not enough air, not enough car factories to manufacture new vehicles, sedans, and vans. When they do make the whip, you're like your chips ain't right. By the time you could afford it, the car ain't imported. In the street diamond, it's just iron. Keep firing in my environment, leaving your slump. Then they drive home far from the hood, brothers. They eager to jump on. I like to be the wall that they toast up on. I like to see them fall, guilty for doing wrong. I'm classic like the Air One, the hustler's shoe. That's what I'm accustomed to. Yeah,
classic.
Live straight classic.
I'm better than I ever been.
I'm everywhere you never been and better than I ever been.
Classic.
Live straight classic.
I'm better than I ever been.
Of course, we have Blastmaster KRS-One. How many y'all got criminal minds? You, y'all, don't be blinded. Me, I got no jewels on my neck. Why? I don't need them. I got your respect. KRS-One, 20 years I rock. I do it for JMJ and Scott La Rock. This hip-hop, and we the nation. Don't you want to hear more KRS on your radio station? Instead of broadcasting how we smoke them trees, on the radio we need to hear more local MCs. Where you at? Come on, where you at? This is the difference between MC and rap. Rappers spit rhymes that are mostly illegal. MCs spit rhymes to uplift their people. Peace, love, unity, having fun. These are the lyrics of KRS-One.
Classic.
Live straight classic. Classic.
I'm better than I ever been.
I'm everywhere you never been and better than I ever been.
Classic. I'm better than I ever been.
I rock him, the fiend of a mic. Yeah. Is y'all ready for 2007? It's now another drought. Everybody's a killer. Wow, we bugging out. Just 86 showing the crowd what I'm about. And they still want to know when the album coming out. Acting teenagers, OGs, and ass kids. What the definition of classic is? Timeless, so age don't count in the booth. When your flow stays submerged in the fountain of youth. Ain't no doubt in the truth. I'm off the meters. Everybody co-signing, even non-believers. I came in the door, became one of y'all's leaders. In the fresh pair, Air Force One sneakers. Uptown. We call them uppies when they on divas. Probably won with KRS-One Jesus. Nah, made you look for all the heaters. I bet your car had them on when he walked with Jesus. Jesus
classic.
Live straight classic. Classic.
I'm better than I ever been.
I'm everywhere you never been and better than I ever been. Classic.
Live straight classic. Classic.
I'm better than I ever been.
I'm everywhere you never been and better than I ever been. Classic.
Live straight classic.
Air Force One, keep it poppin'. Classic. Classic.
All right, folks, we're back. Once again, that was a cut called Classic with Kanye West, KRS-One, Nas, the great Rakim. Wow, you know, just an incredible song, minus Kanye West. I have to confess, I'm not a big fan of Kanye. I don't like his tonality. I don't like his voice. It's a weird southern Midwest. You know, I don't like that guy.
Leave Kanye alone, man.
He messed up that record for me. I don't like the way he sounds. He sounds country. He sounds country as hell, Captain.
Now, maybe you shouldn't have been on that record, but leave Kanye alone. I happen to like Kanye. I like Kanye. But maybe you shouldn't have been on that one. You know, but I like Kanye. I like Kanye alone.
You know, come on. I don't like the way he sounds. country as hell. I'm just speaking my mind. All right, folks. Again, you're listening to Afternoon Radio, a.k.a. Afternoon, featuring Captain Kirk. The call-in number, don't be scared, is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. We're talking about the Frankenstorm Sandy. And I was actually thinking about something else. Going back to our last show, we had a listener that called in from Florida, and I believe he's a long-time listener. I don't recollect his name, but I do recognize his voice. So I appreciate his thoughts, so I don't want our listenership to think that they can't have diverging thoughts from what we say. I mean, you don't have to agree with us at all. But his belief about Obama, or his beliefs about this particular president, I would say there's a fair share of black folk or people of color that feel the same way about this president. And I have to admit, I'm somewhat confused by it. And this is why I appreciate the captain's knowledge, because he, you know, we speak behind the scenes beyond what we do on air. And the captain said something quite profound. It's pretty simple, something, one of those no-brainers that I wasn't really thinking about. But when this caller went in on the president with this diatribe that I've heard, I've actually heard the same speech or the same thought process from Minister Farrakhan, and he calls Obama a killer. We have a killer in the White House. So I've heard this before. And I'm not even saying that it's not without merit. So I can be fair when people bring things out there, but sometimes I do have a problem with hyperbole. I do have a problem with hyperbolic statements. Now, this is what I mean. This is what the captain said to me. He said, and I'm paraphrasing here, and he'll go into this. What world leader, what leader on the national stage do you know is really a nice guy? Let me repeat that. I want you to really let this melt in, folks. What leader on the national stage is really a nice guy? Chavez, Hugo Chavez, you know, he's back in his seat of power. He had elections recently. His people, from our understanding, his people love him, but many perceive him to be a despot. Putin, Vladimir Putin, isn't a nice guy. None of these leaders are nice people. I happen to think that President Barack Obama, at least to his people, to some people, to even with you factor in his ethnicity, at least half of the people seem to like him. Let's hope it's 51%, okay? But the reality is, it's more about the office and less about the person, really. And I just have a problem when folks dig in on this presidency unfairly. You can't make or cast aspersions against President Barack Obama as if he's the only one, or unless you're just not factoring in all the other presidents. I mean, is he more or less, quote-unquote, a killer than Reagan? Was it Iran-Contra or Bush the senior or Bush the junior? Even Lincoln, who presided over the Civil War, there's 70 or 80,000 Americans were killed in this conflict over black manumission, over black rights. So, you know, when we talk about these things, we can't talk about them in a vacuum. My only problem is, I don't like it when folks talk about President Barack Obama in a vacuum, as if, you know, you're calling him a killer, but were you this passionate with all the other presidents? Why this particular president? And then this whole thing about he's not doing anything for black people. The captain has talked about this on a number of occasions on the show. Black folks are going to have to to come up with a some kind of cohesive, dare I say, binder. I'm half joking, folks, but this obviously I'm referencing Governor Romney. But you need to come up with something, some package. And let me tell you, something based on what we even try to do in marketing the show. You might not want to label it blackety black black. I'm just saying. Labeling it something blackety black with the powers that be, who will tell you, well, we don't name things whitey white, is problematic. You can still come up with an agenda. You can still come up with an agenda, folks, without necessarily emblazoning a black title to it. It might be more effective. I'm just saying. We might have to be more Machiavellian, more shrewd in our requests. And we have to know what we want. We have yet to – it's like he hasn't done anything for us. What exactly do you want him to do? We're not even clear on it. You have to approach this man with a certain degree of clarity, and not just because of his ethnicity. Any president, anyone sitting there, there should be a great deal of passion from the black community, irrespective of who is sitting in that White House. But because he's a black man, we have more veracity all of a sudden. When a Republican or Democrat or anyone else who sits in that White House sits in the White House, black folk need to be approaching these people with a set plan and say, okay, this is what we want. Everyone else has made it pretty clear. All these quote-unquote disenfranchised groups have been pretty clear in a cohesive manner as to what they want. I don't know if black folks have really done the same thing. And they seem to be very peculiar with this president. That's why I take umbrage with how he's being treated. Don't act twisted now because the black man's there. You need to be this way, whoever's in there. And why can't we be? I'm asking the captain on this one. What is wrong with us where we can't seem to think outside the box? There is a reason. There is a reason why many in the majority community, soon to be minority, many in the majority community are hell-bent and fearful of this man's second term. I don't think I see this whole agitation on the part of some in the black community to want their Christmas list to give it to President Barack Obama during his first term, when every move he makes is so scrutinized. When he tries to go in a black direction, he is quickly struck down. We see this. Some in the community would liken him to milk toast. Some in the black community would liken him to milk toast. And yet the white community likened him to the head socialist in charge, this ultimate radical. How can you win this way? I'm just asking for some who have this belief. How is he supposed to navigate with an intransigent Congress and with the – with many whites who are telling you he's a socialist and he is radical and we can't allow him a second term. The end of days, Chuck Norris talked about. Chuck Norris, the martial artist / Hollywood action hero, talked about, him and his wife talked about, we can't let this guy come in. It's the end of days. So why are they so fearful if you think he's not doing anything? There must be something going on. Captain, what are your thoughts?
Well, just to backtrack and also to piggyback on some of the things that you just said, all leadership, and I would dare say that the prerequisite for strong leadership is ruthlessness. Now, what does that mean? You have to be ruthless enough to do what is necessary to get the job done. That's why most people, though they might be talented, they might have a little bit of charisma, they're not ready to be leaders. Most people can't lead anything. They're sheeple because they're too nice. You have to be ruthless to a certain extent. You have to be. And the higher up the leadership goes, normally, the more ruthless they're going to be. You mentioned Putin, Vladimir Putin, extremely ruthless. Netanyahu, Israel, ruthless. Chavez, there in Venezuela, ruthless. We can talk about Bush. Oh, my God, Bush was the epitome of ruthless. And some people would say he wasn't that intelligent. But you know, he was very ruthless. It's necessary. Clinton. Remember Clinton now. He was there with Monica Lewinsky, getting his Lewinsky, as a lot of rappers would say, getting it off. Send the troops over here. Get that done. Throw a little shade off of me. Ruthless. Bush before that. Reagan. All these people are ruthless. The prerequisite. But you know what the problem is? When you see the black man, black people, you want the hookup, and you're not getting the hookup. That's the problem. So you come with all of this foolishness. You put him, just as the great Afro Nerd said, he put him in a vacuum. Let's look at this different. Okay? The job requires this qualifications. I don't have these qualifications. You can't. Okay, I know I can't get this job, but I should be able to get the same wage because you black and I'm black. Give me the hookup. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for the hookup. Nah, man. Come together. Put your papers together and tell the president, this is what I want. You understand? Come together. But, of course, in order for you to come together, you have to have knowledge of self, then you can do for self. Homosexuals came together and said, the president, this is what I want. Latin people came together and said, this is the president, this is what I want, Mr. President. Once you do that, then the president does not deliver anything, because sometimes, due to the dynamics and everything else, he can't deliver everything. But once the president does not make a decent effort, then you have a legitimate argument. Black people, you have not done that. You're running around just pointing finger, running off this, that. I'm not getting this. I'm not getting that. That's what you sound like at this given point. Get it together. But I understand, and I'm going to talk about this on another show due to time constraints. Can't talk about it here. I understand you do not have the knowledge of self in order to do for self. So you can present what is necessary to the president so you can go forward. Or at least he can try to help us go forward. I understand that. There's whole reasons behind that. It's not an excuse, but I understand. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Castro, Captain. Castro insists on hanging on. Every time we hear that this man is about to be on his last leg, he is smiling, says, not quite yet. Not quite yet. JFK is gone. RFK is gone. This was during the Bay of Pigs in the 60s, Captain. This man is still here and still controlling his country. And mind you, you know, he's doing it with kind of a middle finger to the United States? He's been putting that middle finger to the United States near the coast of Florida, pointing it toward the United States for 50-plus years. For real. But we want to have black folk and white folk want to put President Barack Obama, because they're both, for different reasons, are so stuck on this man's ethnicity and coloring. They're so stuck on it that we are losing. And if you look at this from a microcosmic and macrocosmic level, if you look at it, that way, race, sometimes you can put race in it, sometimes you take race out of it. America does not want to make, and the captain alludes to this, we do not really want to make the hard line choices to get this country moving forward. We would prefer to still rest on our laurels, still rest on our fumes. Right now, the country is resting on its fumes and resting on its past accomplishments. But we don't even rank anymore, Captain. When you look at all the stats, all the lists, we don't even rank. We don't even rank as a Western country. We don't even rank in health. In many other the indices that other countries or that nation states use to measure their solvency, to measure their actual financial and medical health, the things that allow a country to progress, we're not even measuring. Sweden beats us out because they're more prepared. Now, this is an opportunity because of this horrific storm. We have to get our infrastructure up. This is where jobs could come in. But because of the intransigence that we talked about earlier with the government, with the political playing field, with the different bents, the right and the left and even those in the center, nothing is getting done. And no one wants to admit that we're going to have to really cut out the nonsense, bite the bullet, and make some hard choices. Make some hard choices as far as really getting into our infrastructure. Because how long are we going to put a Band-Aid on these problems when another major storm arises? And it looks like because of global warming, which, dare I say, many on the right would prefer to think that it doesn't exist. But the more we deny any inclination toward global warming, we still see these natural disasters, these billion, multiple billion-dollar disasters, and we sit there and say, well, you know, we'll just put a Band-Aid on it and just keep it moving. That's not the way to success. You check out how these other nation states, especially in Europe, how they're conducting themselves when these things happen. They are better prepared. They are not resting on their laurels. For some reason, we're insisting on still doing the same thing, doing the same old, and we stay losing. All right, Captain. You know what? I want to take another musical break. And when we get back, let's get off of Sandy. Sandy is still ever present. But there's still more talks to get into, believe it or not. I think we left some things on the cutting room floor from the Sunday show. I want to talk about here we go again, Captain. It's good we have about 30 minutes remaining. We have to talk about this first black homecoming queen from Ole Miss. Folks, prepare yourselves. You know how I do. I'm trying to be fair. Captain, what do you think? While I'm looking for this clip for this farce or new Jammy Jam, what do you think? How do you think I'm going to weigh in on this?
Come on.
First black. You know, being that we're gym rats.
Well, I wouldn't actually say at this point I'm a gym rat, but you said the actual word. You actually said the actual word, weighing in. Weighing in. In this corner, we have. That's what you said, boy. You said the right word, weighing in.
Politically correct, though. We're supposed to be politically correct, and political correctness is killing us, folks. It really is. It's lack of honesty. All right. You know what?
She's huge. Let's go.
and you know what? I did not intend to get this song, but I'm just on fire. Brand new heavies. Brand new heavies. Heavies. Sometimes, folks. We'll be back in a few moments. Let's groove.
Come on, ma, we got to make things right. Sometimes we really need to make things right. Come on, ma, we got to make things right. It's the abstract, baby, got to make things right.
Talking about a revolution, or maybe just a change of mind. Working on my constitution, I began
Game. That was Brand New Heavy, sometimes featuring Q-Tip. All right, folks, again, Afternoon Radio, a.k.a. Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk, the call-in number 646-915-9620, again, 646-915-9620. Now, I was just thinking, Captain, just quickly, that, you know, I suspect that some in the African-American community, I'm not saying all, but I'm saying some, are likening President Barack Obama to Kris Kringle, that he's supposed to come in with a magic bag of tricks and help you folks out. I don't see it. And the help that he might want to give you, I mean, you're lucky there's a President Barack Obama and not a President Afro Nerd. Because if it was a President Afro Nerd, I would be hell-bent on helping the black community, but not the way that you would want it. I will help you, but not the way that you would want it. You know, I could either give you spinach for sustenance, or I can give you a french fry. Both would feed you, but which one is better for you? Now, we see how, under President Barack Obama, how he is tuning up the Middle East with drones. Now, I just thought about this while we listened to this song, Captain. Hear me out on this quickly, because we got to move along.
We are dealing with gang warfare. We are dealing with gang warfare half a world away. And we are sending drones over there to tune these folks up. When they talk about what's happening in Chicago, because of the amount of deaths, 400-plus black men, black young men in a year in Chicago are dying. Not unlike the gang or gang warfare that takes place in Afghanistan or in Syria. Not unlike it, right? What's to stop President Barack Obama or any president sending in drones in the hood, which I would approve? I would approve of it. If they're likening Chicago violence to 70s Beirut. So if you're going to liken it to 70s Beirut, you know what? You might have to have some drones. You might have to have some drones. Don't let there be a President Afro nerd. You wouldn't like it. Overhead, over the loudspeaker, drone is honing in, Captain. Citizen, identify yourself. This is LaQuisha. This is Raekwon. I'm just saying. If these are babies, our grandmothers are being taken out over foolishness, folks. Not unlike what's happening in Afghanistan or the Middle East by another type of gang. What is the difference between the gang warfare that's going on half a world away and the gang warfare that's taking down your babies and your elders, and you're not that passionate about it? I'm just saying. And there is actually police. The police are looking into having a drone presence in the hood. Look it up. If the captain knows about this, look it up, because it's getting that bad. It's getting that bad. That's it. You may not like what I have to say, but what are your thoughts, Captain? You might not agree with that, but it's happening even as we speak.
Well, based on the laws that are set up in the Constitution and the laws that they have generally in the books, the police could get a hold of the drones. The military is not allowed to, they're not supposed to, as they say, attack the American people, be used to attack the American people. So, but, you know, that all could be circumvented due to laws and everything else. You could pass things. Definitely something has to be done there in Chicago. Definitely something has to be done. It's a very severe situation. You know, more people are dying over there than we have over in wars overseas. So something definitely has to be done. And then, you know, that's the reality. It's really bad. It's really bad, you know. It's really bad. Something has to be done at this given point in time, regardless of any which way I feel. It's past that at this given point. Something has to be done, and that's the reality of it.
All right, let's go into this Courtney Pearson. Ms. Courtney Pearson is the first African-American homecoming queen from Ole Miss, a.k.a. University of Mississippi. And I'm not really comfortable with it. Sometimes when things go down, Captain, where they choose someone, let me repeat that closely. When they choose someone, it's not really – in the best interest of black folks. Every time, first of all, I have a weird thing about black first now. Maybe 10, 20 years ago, I would really get into it. But as time goes on, I'm getting a little bit tired of everything. You know, 100 years from now, we're going to still talk about black first? Think about it. 100 years from now, are we still going to talk about black first? It's an oddity about it at some point now. We're supposed to be it's a bad term, but there is a thing about post-racial where you could be a black first in anything. This isn't 1940. So anyway, I want to play a clip from this broadcaster on YouTube, actually. He's kind of vulgar at times, but he rides that line where he goes into a little bit of Afro nerd speak, but he uses too many expletives for my personal taste. But at the core of what he's saying, I kind of agree with him. He's going in kind of hard on this. This is Tommy Sotomayor. Tommy Sotomayor discussing this Ole Miss Black Queen. Hold on, folks. It's pretty rough. Hold on.
What do Barack Obama and Gabby Douglas have in common? President Obama is this country's first African-American president, while Gabby is the first African-American to win all-around gymnastics gold in the Olympics. Now see how Action News 5's Kim Clark and a young lady from Bartlett, Tennessee, fit into this riddle.
It came as quite a shock to me when I was crowned Miss University of Georgia. It was even more of a shock when I learned I was, at that time, the only Black woman to ever earn that title.
But that was many years ago, and I was about a size 2, to be exact. But now here we are in 2012, and there's another big first, this time on the campus of Ole Miss.
This is game day attire.
Meet Courtney Pearson from Bartlett, Tennessee, a senior at the University of Mississippi. And tomorrow, she'll be crowned homecoming queen.
We do have a typical tradition that person is usually Greek, that person is usually white, but I think we're kind of going away from that and really trying to look at what that person has done for the university, what they've been involved in, what their grades are looking like, things like that.
And this secondary English education major is certainly involved. Student government, university judicial chair, Ole Miss ambassadors, and freshman orientation liaison. As for being the university's first African-American homecoming queen, Pearson says it wasn't something she campaigned on, although she was very aware there'd never been one before.
And I feel like it's an inspiration for others to be like, there's nothing that can hold me back, not my race, not my Greekness or my non-Greekness, whatever it is that I want to do, I can do it. 50 years ago, I wouldn't have been allowed to even attend this university, and now the students are saying, not only do we want you to attend, we want you to represent us as a whole and go and show the world what we're really about and what we represent.
Kim Clark, Action News 5.
Are you freaking kidding me? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to In the News. I'm your host, Mr. Tommy Sotomayor, and I gotta tell you, this is a fucking joke. Black women, do you not understand that it's gotten to the point where they treat you like retarded children? I'm going to keep saying it until you realize it. You up there smiling and laughing like they really gave you a fucking honor because they told your fat ass you the homecoming queen. Don't you understand that when you got the first quote-unquote homecoming queen, which every guy in every school wants to be with the homecoming queen except the black one? They didn't find the pretty black girl to represent pretty black girls on campus. No, they didn't represent the black girl that typically looks like the white girls, and I don't mean look like the white girls, I mean shaped and pretty. No, they got this morbidly obese-ass black woman to be the homecoming queen. It is the same thing as that high school that got the chick with Down syndrome to be the homecoming queen. Nobody's ashamed. Nobody feels bad. Nobody's anything. There's not a woman on campus that's upset. They know for a fact the only reason you got it is because they were trying to make a black motherfucker feel good, because other than just giving out little bullshit. Yeah, I'm really saddened by this because I'm tired of it. And only black women run around expecting praise for shit they didn't do nothing to get. You know you not cute. You know you 900 pounds. Then they had a nerd that had a fat bitch interview and to be a fat bitch herself up there smiling. It's a
All right. I have my own tolerance for expletives, folks, and my apologies, but I thought that the essence of what he was saying had some validity, so I had to kind of let that go through. If I had my way, I would have preferred to have some of that stuff edited out, but I could not do it. So, again, you know the kind of ship that we sail, the captain and myself, so we're not really into a lot of vulgarity. But I thought that what Mr. Sotomayor was talking about, we'll get into it more deeply. We have a caller. I want to answer the call, and then we'll chop it up. We got about 15 minutes remaining, so let's chop it up. Somewhat controversial, somewhat provocative. I have my thoughts on this. I have my thoughts, as I'm pretty sure the captain does as well. Let's open up the lines, and I think I know who this is, but I'm not always sure. Okay, caller, welcome to Afternoon Radio. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from, 201.
Hey, Captain Deaver, this is Q Storm. How you doing?
Q, what's up, Q?
Hey, real quick, I just want to give you guys your props. I've been listening to the show on these long drives from PA to New Jersey. You guys have been on fire lately, man, and I just want y'all to keep it up.
Real quick,
now I'm going to challenge you a little bit. I'm not sure how I feel about this. I think the young lady is morbidly obese, and listening
you
to
think?
That clip you just played.
You think? Really?
Listening to that clip, the hackles on the back of my neck always raise when people get really, really angry. Like when people get, even conservatives, when they get really, really angry with Obama or this guy getting so angry with this woman, there's something else. Thou doth protest too much. But my question to challenge you just a bit, I'm not saying I disagree with you, but my question to challenge you is, how really is this any different from the hate that Gabby, I forget the young girl's last name, but the Olympian, is this any different from the hate that she received because of her hair? Are we focusing on the wrong thing once again? Should we be focusing on the achievement that this woman, being the first black woman, a homecoming queen of this Institute of Higher Learning?
Kathy, you want me to, can I weigh on this?
All right, I'll go in. Well, first, you know, it's a homecoming queen. That answers your question. Good question. It's a homecoming queen. Now, the achievement that she did, that's fine and dandy. You look at, from a traditional standpoint, homecoming queens are good-looking. And, yes, there's a lot of big, good-looking black women. We see that all over the place. I mean, I've seen some extremely pretty, big black women. This happens not to be one of them. This happens not to be one of them. This right here, I don't know what you want to make of this. You understand? What is this, Grimace, and you put makeup on it? This is a joke for us. This is concerned. So regardless of the fact, you throw everything out the window with that. That's the reality of it. Gabby Douglas was a whole different thing. Gabby Douglas, that was a great gymnast. And then, you know, they start talking about her hair. The achievement was definitely gymnastics. Now, when you're dealing with homecoming queen, the first prerequisite, if you notice with most homecoming queens, now I have to use the word most because you have this going on now, is that they're good looking. You remember your college days or your high school days? Homecoming queen is a good-looking person on top of everything else. Then they might be valedictorian and this, you know, Phi Beta this, you know, graduating with a single cum laude, all the other good stuff on top of it. So let's stop playing games and dancing around this. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, let me go in this a little bit. With Gabby Douglas, first of all, Gabby Douglas really had to work to get on that Olympic team. She wasn't necessarily the first girl that we saw in the game, so to speak. She had to really show and prove. There was a physical aspect. There was a work ethic that was involved where she literally had to work to get to that point. There really wasn't a political aspect to it. In this sense, Ms. Pearson was actually chosen. It's different if there's some kind of working product. Like, in other words, there's an academic race or some kind of process where everyone was competing and then they, you know, the numbers fell where they fell and then this person became, like in the case of President Barack Obama. And even Barack Obama fits a certain standard and even that standard is scrutinized. And this man looks like some kind of shining prince. Let's give it up. His family, they look like the way we would want a president to look, even to the chagrin of the racists that are against him. In the case of Ms. Pearson, the reality is this is the first black homecoming queen. Why is she a different standard? Why is the standard different for her than the other homecoming queens that preceded her? Why is it when it's time, when it's our turn, when it's our turn, it's sloppy? And it seems to be thematic. It seems to be thematic on a lot of other different levels. When it comes to our, when it comes, well, listen, you know how we talk. We talk honestly here, Q. When it comes to our movies, when it comes to our music, when it comes to certain aspects, not everything, but when it comes to certain aspects that require black representation, our standards are lower, and no one respects us for that. I understand that we should look past a person's physical attributes at times, but the homecoming queen, when I went to Hampton, the homecoming queen was fine. She was fine. Why? Matter of fact, this is what makes it even funnier. A black homecoming queens, many of them, on a black campus, this would not fly. So why is it when it's white involvement and they do the choosing, they choose this for us? I'm not comfortable with that.
Well, I just want to interject real quick because I know we're running short on time, but I don't necessarily disagree with anything you've just said. I'm just playing devil's advocate to open up the lines of thought. And, you know, we talk about women in this country. Now, we want to claim we live in a post-racial, post-black world. So we can put that aside for a second and talk about women in general. We talk about a lot of times how women are literally dying to be thin. They're dying, you know, doing things with their hair, their bodies, diets, this and that. And we talk about, you know, there's a paradigm of an actual female figure that, you know, magazines and media and pop culture does not ascribe to, an unrealistic paradigm. So would you say, is there any part of you that would say that this maybe helps that paradigm shift?
You know what? You have a point, but I wonder, will we see a morbidly obese white homecoming queen after this woman? Or will they go back to their standard? And you know the answer to that, because the other pictures do not look like this woman's picture. That's my issue. What's going on? Why it seems like it's some kind of charity case. Why is it when it's a black turn, it's a charity case? When Obama came around as the president, this is why he is so threatening. See, you understand something? This woman doesn't threaten anyone. She doesn't threaten anyone. That's the issue. When you are of a certain standard, Q, you are threatening. Black intelligence on the world stage, and I said this on a show before, is a threatening prospect. A fine, in shape, learned black woman is a threat. And I've seen this in the workplace. When you find black women, attractive, well-heeled black people like the Obamas are threatening. People who are on the sloppy tip, not so much. And matter of fact, Q, in your own state, well, you're in Pennsylvania, though, technically, right?
I float between New Jersey and PA.
Okay. Your adopted state. There's people that have a little queasiness about your boy, Christy. Because let's face it,
yes.
Christy is a slob, right? He doesn't really look presidential.
Yeah.
You know, when you're on the world stage, you have to look a certain part, man. And Christy, that's why I look at Christy with a – Christy, he speaks – he talked the right talk. I have to give him credit where credit is due. He says all the right things, especially during disaster. He's not being phony because, he he's supposed to kind of give the president a side eye during this because we're in the middle of campaign season. So I have to give him credit where credit is due. But he needs to get on that treadmill, man, to really – bring it home, because people are about aesthetics, whether we like it or not. It shouldn't always be that, but on some things, being slovenly and sloppy, get a hold of it. Being in an office of power takes a lot of work.
why can't we take that one step further and apply that to our physicality sometimes? Sometimes you're going to have to do certain things. I'm just saying,
man. I just say one last thing, and I'm just being humorous now. There's a certain overweight guy who just made $4 billion off of Disney, but, you know.
Oh, you're talking about Lucas. We're supposed to talk about him. Wait, Lucas he's not morbidly obese. Is he morbidly obese? Well, he's got a, I tell you right now, his sister, who runs a top financial firm, is well-heeled, and she doesn't look like this homecoming queen. A billionaire, as a billionaire, he got a black woman of a certain standard, buddy. As a billionaire, he didn't come up with Precious. Oh no. We talk about being honest here at Afro Nerd. This is what we're trying. We got to clean up some of the mess. This sister, I'm going to be tribal. This sister is young enough to hit the treadmill. You're a walking heart attack. Come on now. You're too young for this. Get it together. You look at, what's her name? When the money starts coming in from American Idol, Jennifer Hudson. Jennifer Hudson, straighten it out because it's important, because it's time. When the light is on you, when the light is shining on you, it's time to show and prove. That's the first thing I noticed when I saw Jennifer Hudson. I said, okay, you are in a prime position to get this thing going. You see, what's her face? Fantasia. Not so much. We don't do it. We don't. Q, you know what I'm saying is true. You know when I say something, when I say something with absolute clarity, when it's time to come through and there's big money and the light is on you, you need to show and prove. You need to look like a little something. Now, we got this. I don't want to cast bullets on this young woman. God bless her, but I think that those who chose her are clowning the black community secretly. Behind the scenes, we'll give you your black queen. We'll give you what we think a black queen should look like. I'm not comfortable with that. I think it's shenanigans.
You said she was chosen. There wasn't a competition?
I think, from my understanding, she was chosen. She was crowned. You know, like any, you know, there was a process. The student body chose her.
That is a little kind of funny.
A little suspect. These are the same people that have these Halloween parties where they dress in blackface to this day. I don't trust them. Captain, we've got to head on out. We've got about a minute and a half remaining. Q, as always, we respect your input and your compliments and your critique. We'll do it again on Sunday. We appreciate it.
All right.
That's all. Captain, about a minute.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What are your closing remarks? You've got a closing in.
Let's just play something nice and departing. We have more to get to this Sunday. Sunday, we do the comic shop at 6, where we address comics and all things pop. And then at 7 p.m., we get into the Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk segment. You may want to tune into both shows because it gets really interesting.
Yeah, we're trying hard to have Nelson George come through. He's got this Finding the Funk documentary, folks. So he's been a guest on our show before, so we're trying to get author and filmmaker Nelson George to come through. But because of Hurricane Sandy, that might be hit or miss. And hopefully we can get David Walker of Number 13 fame, the comic book that he's promoting. He loved our show so much, we may have him back to sit in on both shows. So we might have a really fully packed show coming up on Sunday. So let's cross our fingers. All right, folks, let's go on out. This is a little bit of Mandrill. This is Get It All. See you on Sunday.